The turntable off, right? Are we on? No, of course not. Main mic, it's on. Looks low. This is Mae Bressel. It's KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. Just getting the little switches fixed here and see what's going on. How's everyone this evening? This is silly. What am I doing here? Okay, I'll take some calls. It's 375-3082. What's on your mind tonight? A little bit of news. I'm just a little punchy from the news, to tell you the truth. There's so much. It's getting me a little drunk. Bye-bye. See ya. Take care. We make a switch here at 7:30 and begin with telephone calls. Hello.
Hi, Mae.
Yes.
The other day on KGO, a girl called Jim Eason's program and said that her father was the man who shot Martin Luther King, and that there was two white Mustangs,
mm-hmm.
and he drove as a decoy. He drove off in one of them, and then they caught up with what's the man's name that's in prison now for
James Earl Ray?
Yeah, they caught James Earl Ray, and he was the patsy, according to her,
mm-hmm.
and that her father was a Klansman,
mm-hmm.
and was also involved more recently in the Atlanta killings that got blamed on that other young man.
Williams?
Williams.
Yeah.
And Jim Eason started questioning her,
mm-hmm.
and she really seemed to know her stuff. I mean, she said her dad...
did she give her name?
She didn't give her name, but she says that she's working with Dick Gregory in trying to get the case opened up again through an attorney in Washington, D.C., by the name of Sheehan.
Yeah.
That's the only name that she gave.
This is a gal who lives up in Santa Cruz.
Oh, yeah?
I think I introduced her to Dick Gregory, and he sort of avoided the whole issue for a long time. I can't believe he's working on it.
She had a southern accent, like she really came from that part of the country.
Uh-huh.
She seemed to know an awful lot about...
There is somebody living in Santa Cruz, and I think I mentioned her on the air. She says that her father was part of that gang,
right,
that killed down in Atlanta. But I don't remember her talking about James Earl Ray.
No, she claims her dad had a white Mustang just like Ray's, and that he drove off in a hail of bullets as a decoy or something. I mean, she...
Yeah?
Anyway.
Well, the one I'm thinking of, this is an embellishment of the original story. So I don't know what to think of it. I could believe around the Klan. In fact, I have a videotape. When I spoke up at Santa Cruz, it was a fundraising for Kazoo, and she was up there, and she sent me a videotape, and we've been in touch.
Hmm.
And she sounds very convincing. In fact, if she's listening tonight, Larry Flint was interested in getting in touch with her because of the Atlanta killings. There's a lot of people down in Atlanta he knows. And I lost her phone number. She moved. And so if she's listening tonight, she can call me, because I don't think the old number is the one that works. I believed the story about the killings of the black children down there. Her father's in the Klan, and she knew where bodies were buried. And when she tried to tell the police about it, they put her in a mental hospital, and she had to force herself out because they made her the victim when she carried the story about the killings down there.
Yeah, she claims that she's been really
abused by them.
Abused by the...
Raped by the Klan, abused by them, yes, child abuse. And they break down their spirits, you know, even members of their own family, and use them. And it's interesting that she's talking about the Mustangs now, because this is a little embellished from what the first thing she said, and I don't know why she wouldn't have mentioned that the first time around.
Hmm. I don't know. She also went on to say she hopes to make contact with a book publisher, or she already has, and is trying to negotiate some kind of deal where she can have some income, because she says she wants to continue on her research, as she puts it, and
you know, and
she needs money. And so Jim Eason at that point got a little bit suspicious, and
when she mentioned the money,
and sarcastic slightly, and then she came back at him with when he asked, tried to get more details out of her, she said, "Well, I'll sell you some information." She said, "I'd never heard you before." She'd never heard KGO before, apparently, mm-hmm. is what she told him. She says, "I don't have any money, you know, to buy information." And she says, "Well, I really need some money."
Well, it sounds like, I know she needs money. We all do.
Right.
But it sounds like she's embellishing with the Martin Luther King when she had a good story with the other Atlanta murders. Because she never brought in any Atlanta before. And if you read enough books, you can, you know, or maybe she's got other information or wasn't aware of the details. It may be, I believe a lot of what she's saying, because she knows all the people in Atlanta that were involved with the Williams case.
Well, the only name she mentioned, like I said, was Sheehan, an attorney in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
I think she pronounced it Sheehan.
I think hell would freeze over before Dick Gregory would do anything. If she listens to this program, she knows that he was dining with Mitchell Werbel last week and Gordon Novell. So that's the gang. That's where the money is.
Incidentally, I really want to thank you for the article in The Rebel. It was so well, not only well written, but it just really covered everything from the beginning to today.
Yeah, where did you pick it up locally?
Well, I had a liquor store in Seaside reserve two copies for me. It's called Terrace Liquors. They have the largest magazine selection on the peninsula.
Okay, let me write that down. Terrace Liquor, where are they located?
Let's see. They're right on Broadway, at the corner of Broadway and... a little fuzzy about that. It's at the far end of Seaside. In other words, closest towards Fort Ord.
Well, oh, you go straight out like Fremont, not Broadway.
I'm sorry, Fremont. You're
yeah,
right.
Somebody told me out near Fort Ord you get the Soldiers of Fortune and those magazines. It's straight out there near Fremont.
Yeah, it's close to the.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
it's on the right or
Pancake House out there. And,
yeah, on the right-hand side or the left?
Well, if you're going towards Fort Ord, it's on your left.
On your left side. Okay, how about the Thunderbird? Are they carrying them?
That I don't know. The Terrace Liquors also had the L.A. Free Press. They had a big stack of those, but they sold out of the Rebel right away.
They did. Now, I've been getting a lot. I was down in L.A. from Tuesday till Sunday night, so I have the phone off the hook because I'm doing my next article, so I can't really answer till Tuesday and Wednesday till I get in the mail. But I'd put it back on if I was having a cup of coffee or doing something. And there were a lot of messages. People liked it. You liked the article,
oh, it's
huh?
Great. It's great.
Yeah.
And I really want to thank you again for it. I'll get off the line.
Okay, fine. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Okay. How many of you got The Rebel this week? Call in and tell me if you got it. If you didn't get it, I don't think they'll be out. They'll be on the stand a few more weeks, and then I hope he keeps reissuing them, like the L.A. Free Press that he got out in 1978. They're out in the Bay Area. Of course, they're cheaper. I guess they're around $1. The Rebel's $3. Let me take another call here. Hello?
Yes, I wanted to tell you that I had found, I finally found The Rebel.
Where'd you find it?
Well, I had to go to the distributor. It's Bell Magazine Distributor in Seaside is distributing it.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't out on the stands Tuesday. I came over, I went to the Thunderbird, and he didn't know anything about it. Of course, I called a few bookstores here in Santa Cruz, and the main magazine store downtown said that they knew about it but wouldn't handle it.
Why?
That's what I wanted to know, and he just muttered around that I should call some bookstores rather than to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
He sounded as if he knew what it was about.
Of course.
I couldn't find anything in the liquor stores on Thursday, so I just went back to the phone booth and called the man up that was there, and he happened to be there, or Friday, I mean, the day after Thanksgiving. He said if I'd come down, he'd open it up.
The distributor?
Copies.
Yeah. How many did you buy?
5.
Yeah, did you like it?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. I'm sending them up to some of my parents and friends in Oregon because I doubt if they'll ever see it.
Yeah, I got a call from somebody in Canada last night about 2 in the morning, and he bought about 10 to put in with Christmas packages.
Good idea.
And he really liked it. He said that was the best thing he could give because he had called Canadian Broadcasting up in Montreal and told them, you know, this is what you should be having on the air, not all that deadbeat stuff. He's really excited. So they were able to get up there. So you got a hold of it, right?
Yes.
You like the article?
Oh, very much. Very much. I've been listening to you since the early days of KLRB when you first came on.
Uh-huh.
And so so I haven't followed you all these years, but yeah. I'm on and off at different stations you've went to, and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I want you to know that you should keep up the good work.
Good. It's, you know, it was just like 54 typewritten pages, about 20,000 words, but it's hard to reduce that much information into those few pages even.
Yes. After I got through reading it, I had to put it down. My brain couldn't take any more.
No, no, you're not supposed to do it in one sitting.
A lot of input.
It's a lot of information.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Yeah, reread it and take your time. Go over it again, because those names will keep coming up. Thanks for calling.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, so Rebel is around for those who want it. Some people say, I can't find it, but he located a distributor and asked some local bookstores. Hello?
Hi, yeah, I'm from Santa Cruz, and I was interested in if you knew of anywhere that was distributing it up here besides the actual distributor, him or herself.
Well, try Aries Arts tomorrow.
Aries Arts.
Yeah, Tom Davis is... sells, it's called Research, and he sells mail order books for conspiracy buffs and researchers on the various histories of our times, the political assassinations and things, and I'm sure that he may start to get them in there.
Do you have any idea where that is?
Well, no, call Aries. Oh, yeah, it's in Capitola, right on the main drag.
Capitola, okay.
But call there first, or call, call there and ask if they're going to carry it.
Uh-huh. Well, who's putting it out now? Like, if I'm going to ask my bookstores to carry it, what do I, you know?
Well, it's a Larry Flint publication, but he has 75 different magazines, so there's a quilt magazine, and it's a general, I don't know who distributes it. Every city has a different thing. I was down in L.A., and they had them at the Farmer's Market and on Westwood Boulevard, and some 7-Elevens that have Hustler don't have that. It just depends. Some of the people, the Santa Glen bookstore, Market has a magazine stand in West Los Angeles, and a friend of mine went down to buy it, and he said, oh, I opened one copy and I saw a swastika on it, and he says, my customers are all Jewish, so I wouldn't sell that.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The very people that should be reading
it.
The future bars is open. They don't know it, you know.
Right.
He won't even let them know. He's going to protect them. So anyway, you know, friends are wrong. I told them, no, you got the wrong idea. You know, this is what they should be reading.
Uh-huh.
They'll be the last to know. But try and get it. Call liquor stores if they don't carry it. Say, would you, it would, you
it's
know.
It's called The Rebel, right? That's the name of it?
Yeah, The Rebel.
Okay.
Yeah.
And this is the first copy that's come out?
Yeah, it may even be the last.
Yeah, it sounds like it's quite possible it could be the last.
It may be the last. I'm working hard. I'll have my next article done by tomorrow, but I take one day at a time. I'm an existentialist. I believe in today and not necessarily tomorrow.
Uh-huh, right.
I work as if there's a tomorrow, but I don't really believe that these things can go on. You know what I mean? The powers are too strong. If what I said was true, they wouldn't let go of more than one issue.
Uh-huh.
So I really think that they're moving in on Flint, and I can't see that it can go on.
Uh-huh.
So, which is a tragedy, the noble effort. He sure gets an A for effort, and it, at least it's published and out, and it's on the stands in New York around the country, and I'm getting, you know, feedback from people, so we can't say we didn't make it. We got it out anyway.
All right. Well, thank you for putting it out and your trouble for doing your show and everything else.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we got to get, you know, this L.A. Free Press is reissued, and there's a light of fuss over that, and he had that out 1 month and was shot, and 5 years later they're out selling like hotcakes. Hello?
Hello, May.
Yeah.
How are you tonight?
How are you?
Oh, very good. I just want to let you know an old friend of yours is on KGO all week along in the evening, or actually early in the morning, 1-5, Bob Trevor.
Oh, no.
Yes. He, as a matter of fact, he mentioned you last night.
Did he get the rebel?
I'm not sure if he has.
What did he say?
Well, he just, somebody had called and said that, asked if he was going to have you on this week. He's on all week long taking over Ray Taliaferro's show for
a week. Oh, my God, if he has me, I'll get fired. we were doing really good shows, and it's just a year ago tonight since the big Vatican scandal broke, linking it to, you know, the Mafia and the Milan gun running and stuff, and about 2-3 years ago, we were talking about things that are just breaking the stories now or a year ago in the Vatican, and they... Boom, I was on with him, and they fired him so fast,
yeah.
You know. We couldn't talk about that.
Well,
they
Catholic group in San Francisco. I mean, you know, you'd think that the Catholics would want to know the Vatican is dealing, you know, with the Milan Mafia, just like the Jews should know that Jamal deals with Sharon, with the Becca Valley and hashish. You know, I mean, I don't think it's a thing against the Jews to know that some Jews are corrupt.
Yeah, yeah.
And they protect themselves. Then these scandals and these books pour out. Everything we were talking about, or I was talking about, is just, it's part of American history.
Yeah, right. Well, he said he'd like to hear from you.
Oh, I'll call him tonight.
Okay.
No, I got a deadline. I got to write. I'll send him. As long as he's there, I'll send Bob Trevor a copy of The Rebel.
Yeah, that'd be good.
And if you call him, tell him about it. But I have the phone off the hook till Wednesday because I have a deadline, my next deadline. So I'll call him Wednesday.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Oh, Bob and I did great shows on KGO, and it was really great. I met a lot of you people, I think, and listeners through Bob Trevor. There's a lot of people that don't listen to listener-sponsored programs. They want the big ABC shows, and it's much better here. We have an hour a week going on. All these years, is my 13th year with this news every week. You can't get on ABC or NBC or CBS, and when we were really hitting it hard and growing a big audience, I'd be on for hours, and he was, and I were good friends. Then they just took him off the news and put him into a very controlled group. They couldn't fire him because he had a certain contract, and they kept him doing the news and commercials, Bob Trevor. But the first program I ever did with him was in 1972 at the time of Watergate when I wrote Why Was Martha Mitchell Kidnapped? And he was new at KGO. He was fairly new. And, wow, he was not a few weeks, and there we were with the Watergate story. But what happens is that it's fun to make fun of Richard Nixon. That was very chic, and a lot of people wanted him out of office. So we weren't in hot water when we talked about Richard Nixon or John Mitchell. That was cute. It's when they began to be impeached, or the talk of impeachment, and then the story of who Rockefeller was or James McCord, or how they slid Nixon out of office, the Squad 19 that's planning a little party for the Olympics, maybe a little terrorism or Reichstag kind of operation. When you get to the really heavy work of who's behind the conspiracies, the people that I wrote about in the Rebel article, the real strong Nazis behind these shenanigans, that's when you become a threat to the establishment, and they have to change the format and take you off the air and take him off the air. And so Bob Trevor and I were close until, in the same way with even, that's not, I take it back, it's not just ABC. The so-called liberal stations like KPFA, KPFK, I was the darling of the media as long as I was making fun of Nixon. If you get to Nikolai Meloxa and the Iron Guard and the people in Nixon's office, then you become a threat to the power structure as it is, and then they take you off the air. We'll take one more call, then I'm going to start a pitch for some money on the station. Hello?
Can't hear you.
You can't hear me. Why?
Not coming out.
Well, the main mic's on and the board's on and everything looks, the little arrows are going all over the place. Why can't you hear me?
I don't know. When you put the phone down, then it's...
You can't hear anything?
It's very low.
Well, I'll turn it up higher, but these arrows are jumping. Can you, is it higher for you now?
I can't tell. I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay. It looks pretty high. There's two little monitors here, and they're jumping all over the place. But what do you want to hear?
Your voice.
You can't hear me at all?
Just very low.
On the air it's low?
Yes.
Well, then the arrows are deceiving.
Well, I'll try again.
Try again, and I'll start screaming. Now, are all of you having trouble? I have the arrows way up here to red. Richard, can you hear it on the air? Is it okay? Why can't I hear it? These little things are going all over the place. No, hello.
I just wanted to let you know that it's fine now.
It's fine?
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything different.
Well, it's perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine. Okay, thanks. We've got to have it fine. Now, this is supposed to be fundraising week, and Richard's back in the other room waiting to see if we raise $1,000 in the next 10 minutes. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
I just want to ask a question. I listen to your program occasionally. A friend of mine just got back from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
He laid some information on me, and I want to know if you can verify this. Are there really 300 United States warships outside of Lebanon, the Gulf of Lebanon?
300 U.S. warships outside Lebanon.
Something. He says there's a concentration of United States warships outside.
How many do we have in total?
I don't know. He sounded very serious.
Well, I would wonder.
He said a concentration of ships.
Concentration of ships. I'll tell you, do you live locally?
Yes.
Call the Navy Postgraduate School.
Okay.
And ask at the library. They have a library there. Ask somebody how many warships we have and what's the general distribution. And maybe they would tell you. I mean, if we have 10,000 ships, there's 300 there. And there's 300 outside of El Salvador, you know.
He just went on and on and on, you know.
300.
Yeah, it's...
It sound like that's a real armada?
Anyway, he said it's the largest concentration of ships since World War II.
I thought our largest concentration of ships since World War II is outside of Nicaragua or Grenada.
Well, you know, some people lay information.
Well, I'm sure we want to spread ourselves all over the world, but I can't. It's hard to visualize where there'd be any water left. I don't know.
Okay.
300. I've never seen that figure. I would make a guess.
Like
20 or 30. Maybe there's a zero that was printed wrong.
That could have been. Yeah.
Maybe would 30 be sound right? Let's settle for 30. Okay, call Navy Postgrad, but I'd settle for 30.
That's okay.
I might see it in the news this week and tell you next week or something, but I would bet it'd be closer to that. You know, it costs $1 million a day to keep one ship out there.
I know, but, you know, he sounded so serious about it, and I just was amazed. And I, you know.
Maybe they're clones. No, I don't.
Oh, I don't know.
No, I'd say 300 sounds like...
It could be NATO forces.
No, it sounds like an awful lot.
Too many.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're getting ready for a big war. That's what that
Oh,
means.
For sure.
Yeah.
Let's go for 275.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Okay,
now this is fundraising week. I just met Richard there. He's raising money. Do you have any ideas on how to raise money for Kazoo? I thought maybe Congressman Panetta gives some money back. He thinks the congressmen get too much money, and he's probably right. And he gives some of his back to the general offices. Maybe he would give a certain amount, like $100 a month to Kazoo, and come on once a month and talk. After all, Ronald Reagan's on his shtick on the radio every Saturday, and why not a local congressman? He flies in here and talk, you know, about what's going on in Washington. Give a share back to help support the station and let us become a very wise group of people on the bills that are going there, like the MX issue or the binary they voted. What's before Congress? Let's find out. Hello?
Hey, just call me Reach.
Yes?
Thank you.
Reach, what did I call you, Richard?
Yeah.
Reach, he's reaching for money and he's calling for the other room. How about some ideas for money? You got some ideas for the listeners?
Well, if they keep listening, their phone may ring and it'll be me.
It may be you.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, give him an idea. What do you want him to do? Send in some money tonight?
Thank you, please.
Okay, we're going to have a contest, he says, to see which person on Kazoo can draw the most donations to the station. So is it going to be our loyal world watchers or the classical music or the new age music or all the various programs that they have going here? What group of people is willing to give $1, $2, $5, $10, $15, $25 memberships? Not even just the big hunks. Can you send money to the station? As I told you, the winter is coming and the equipment blows down and we need some stuff in the room, in the middle room, to fix, and sometimes there's trouble with this stereo monitor, so we do need funds for the station, and maybe you can send it in. We'll send you a self-addressed stamped envelope if you call in, and it's 375-3082. If you want to just mail it, it's P.O. Box 206, Pacific Grove, California, 93950. And the membership, student and senior, is $15. How many of you who listen to World Watchers have sent in money? I know many of you have, and I really appreciate it. Send it to the station. And basic backers, $25. Whatever you have, it would be appreciated. There is somebody here. He calls himself Reach. He's reaching for the money. He wants to collect for the station so we can fix the equipment and get it known locally. I suggested some...
$25.
Oh, great. Larry Flint's got some big problems, so we'll take it one month at a time. Maybe it's going to be a one-issue rebel. I hope not, but you never know, so we take it as it comes. And if you want to send in your money when I am not asking you for it, when there's no pledge time, you go ahead and do that, and we'll appreciate that. That'll be just fine. okay? I don't have time to take more calls now, so I have to switch off that box that holds the telephone messages because it gives too much static when we do the World Watchers. And, oops, hear the mic fall. Very nice. Okay.